Nine Perfect Strangers.
Now we're doing 6 and 7, and it's a little overwhelming. A lot has happened.
A lot.
In these two episodes.
We're nearing the end here, so we're...
That's right. It has to.
It has to amp up.
And boy, that tension by the end of 7. But let's get to that. So should we start with episode 6?
Sure.
Which I was surprised by the beginning. So, first of all, Masha's in somebody else's bed. Fucking creepo. What is she doing? She's constantly doing
she's
this.
She's so fucking weird.
Oh, my God. But this time she's with Lars.
She's, like, whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. But I did love what she said to him. She was like, he was having a dream with all these bullies, taunting him. And this is his trauma and this is his pain. And... we've known this but she kind of calls him out to like push past it. Okay, you've dealt with these bullies, you've had to, and you've done it, and you've made them your target, and you've beaten them down and broken them down, and that was really important to you. Like, she's pretty much saying all of that was really important to your growth because that's what happened to you and you need to deal with it. But the next step is, have you ever nurtured anything? Have you ever been a vehicle for growth? And I'm like, damn, that, like, you kind of think you have your demons and you slay them and that's it. And she is like, no, push past it. Now do something different. And I don't know, for some reason that just really resonated with me. I feel like that was a start of a different journey that I went on when I became a mother. The kind of getting over, understanding why I had been so, you know, driven in a certain way, in a very certain way, I think in a masculine, again, talking about energy, not gender, masculine energy. And then when I became a mother, I have really had to force out this feminine energy that was not easy for me. And I think she probably summed it up in one line. Like, that was my next stage of growth. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every time you think Masha's crazy.
Yeah.
And maybe going, I mean, this is a theme throughout these two episodes. You think she's taking things too far. What the hell's going on here? Her tactics are outlandish. She comes out with gems like this. There's lots of them where she really is helping these people, right? She's getting to the point on things. And you're like, oh, that's actually really, that's.
Yeah.
Good,
that's
point.
Next level, you know, this that's
is,
next level,
yeah, it yeah. really is. So this was the right out of the gate, but she's gonna have a lot of these gems, I feel like.
Oh,
while she's also doing crazy things.
Yes, we're gonna get a lot more of both. And what did you think about the revelation that Masha had an affair with Carmel's husband?
So, you know, I was just finally sort of happy that Carmel was kind of getting more at play here. You know, I felt like they've been holding back on her storyline a bit. I couldn't really, not that I couldn't relate to her. I just, you know, I felt like, I think we've talked about this on the prior ones. Like, she just wasn't really working necessarily for me. Like the super happy and then the little bursts of crazy. But now I'm like, okay, now you're putting some meat on the bones here. Like, now I understand. Of course, it makes you go ahead.
The meat on her bones is that she is going to be the one more unhinged, more creepy.
Yes.
Than Masha.
Yes.
Like, ow.
Yes.
I didn't know that was possible. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, just, creepy, but it's also then just her anger is just going to come. We've only seen like these bursts of it, and now in these two episodes, it's game on for her. But I thought it was a good twist.
I did too. I'm more comfortable with her anger than I am with her creepiness.
She's like 100%.
I came here to study you, to become you, so that he might want me back. Trust me, I would never hurt you. I want to be you. I'm like, ooh,
no.
God. I don't. No. That creeped me out. Really creeped me out.
And that's so creepy. But then her pounding her face, I'm like, okay, she's pissed and she's on delusional drugs.
Right. And she thinks she's Lillian.
Thinks she's the other woman. Mm-hmm. So that I get. Okay.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm much more comfortable with that than the stalkerish creepiness, which, by the way, we might as well talk about, because if you're listening to this, you've watched them both.
Right.
at the end of episode 7, the very end, she takes out apparently what she has, like a prosthetic contact or whatever it is to cover up her eye, which reveals that she is the one that shot Masha. She is the one that caused Masha to have all of this happening to her, you know, because it was that when she got killed, she with that gunshot and Yao saved her, that she decided to start Tranquillum and kind of journey into this process of healing. So it's a little wild.
It is a little wild. And is she the one that's been threatening her then?
Are we supposed
to conclude that? Okay, we don't know. So she could have other enemies. They set it up that maybe it's not her.
Absolutely.
And she does ask her that, but, you know, is that why you came here? Have you been threatening me? And like you said, Carmel's answer is no, I came here to study you or whatever. But now it does call that into question. But, I mean, that scene generally, though, I mean, it went from what I thought was actually kind of fun and crazy, her full dancing to Xanadu.
At the end of episode 7. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden she's packing up. And then I knew
something was coming. I felt sick to my
stomach. I did not think she was going to be the one who tried to kill her, though. When her prosthetic eye went on, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I did love the Xanadu dance scene, though. I thought, you know, that was, I did like that. But yeah, I don't know. And in the flashbacks, it looks like it's a man.
It does.
Who's coming after her. So that confused me too. It does. Even though the eye was obviously the dead giveaway, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're covered up, so you really don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I just assumed it would be a man. There's no indication because she is.
Right.
Got a hood over her, most of her, her head right, and face. Most of her face too. Yes.
Right. Yeah, wow. So Carmel's storyline is clearly coming out.
Yeah, but I wonder. Frankly, I wonder what it means for Masha, because this again, that now it's that Carmel killing her and her dying and then coming back to life is what set her on this path of Tranquillum. So now Carmel coming back, does that mean her life is over? Like, this part of her life is over. I don't know.
Right. What is she signaling? And at the end, we know that Masha's going off on this psychedelic trip with the Marconis. So
yeah,
I don't know. You're right. I mean, she's about to embark on the unknown too. And maybe that's it for Masha, you think?
I don't know. I just, you know, Carmel could have come here at any time. And this is the time she's coming. And what does it mean, I guess? And I guess it would be silly to think it's not related to the other huge reveal that we got. And we're going out of order here, but I think we can't not talk about the huge reveal at the end of episode 6, which is that the young blonde girl that we've been seeing riding her bike and playing, we've been led to think is actually a young Masha, and it isn't. It is Tatiana, her daughter, that dies in a terrible accident, but that you're watching it and your stomach just drops out. I mean, these were some tough episodes for motherhood.
Yes. And, you know, I had mentioned to you, I think on one of the first ones, that someone had told me the differences between the book and that she had been a mother and had left her child. And I think you said, oh no, is that what this is going to be about or whatever? But it seems as if they've changed it again, which is, I think in the book, she actually left her child, abandoned her child, versus here, which is certainly a more sympathetic figure. I believe someone reading the book is going to correct me if I'm wrong on this, But clearly, I did know that at some point in the book she was a mother, and I edited that out of the episode
because I was like, this is too spoilery, and I said it in the episode, and I edited it out, and then I completely blocked it out because you know how I feel about spoilers, so I completely blocked it out,
and I was
genuinely shocked when you see the girl's face and she's laughing and smiling, and then the camera pulls back and you see Masha there behind her.
Yes. Oh my God, I know.
Oh, I was shocked. I was really shocked.
I know. And even when she's telling it to Frances, who she confides in, the pain looks still so real and current. Yeah. And like she can barely say her name.
Yes. Oh. And so that is also another thing that is escalating for Masha on a personal level, not just on a level of like the retreat leader at Tranquillum. This is it seems to be, and tell me, because it's not exactly clear, but tell me if this is what you got too. It seems that she's been trying to call Tatiana back and she can't do it on her own. And now that the Marconis are here, she feels like Zoe is the conduit for this, and the last time didn't work out, and she's like keeps trying to call back Tatiana, and I think Tatiana says I'll be there soon, and so she's getting kind of frantic, not for her guests but for herself. She really wants to be with Tatiana, and she's telling them, the Marconis, frantically, I can bring him back for you, I can bring him back for you, talking about their son Zach, who they lost to suicide. But she really is talking about Tatiana, and she wants, she is desperate to call her daughter back. And
because she wouldn't be so frantic. I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, and Lars calls her out on this. You know, he says, I know your personal story. I know what you're doing here. This is, this, all this, I guess, has all of this always been about this experiment, right? It didn't work with, you know, everything she's been testing on all the patients of Tranquillum. Was it all just for her to ultimately be able to have her daughter back, at least in this, you know, alternate universe sense that she's proposing to the Marconis? I mean, I got the sense that it was like this has been her mission. And it, that other guy, I guess Conley, who died, it worked, if you believe her, it worked, but then he died of other
a heart causes. Attack,
but now I think she thinks the Marconis are her key, which is why I guess she drinks the potion with them.
Yes.
So that now they're going together on this psychedelic trip so that she can get to her daughter, who I think you're right, she feels like she's so close.
Yes. She feels
so close.
Yeah.
And when they're like, I want to rethink it, she is desperate. She's like, oh, no, gosh. I'll drink it too then.
Yes. And I know that there's a lot going on. And so, she, you know, on the surface, you could say, oh, she's just, you know, she's scattered because there's a lot going on. Carmel's in lockdown. Delilah has just driven through the gate.
Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. So, but I think what's really behind it is her desperation to see Tatiana. Yes.
That's how I interpreted it, too.
Okay. Yeah. So let's back up a lot then, that now that the big stuff is out there.
Do you mean Tony and Frances kissing is not the big stuff? I mean, wait, what? I'm just kidding. Yeah. It's just favorite stuff.
Oh, yes. Know, no, that's
still. You mean the big reveals?
Yes. No, but that is still big stuff. I just meant for Masha. So Delilah and Masha have their normal, you know, back and forth, which I really became very tiresome. It was tiresome a couple episodes again. And by 6 and 7, I was so tired of just hearing Delilah go, this isn't right. This isn't right. And she, Masha saying,
I'm not into Delilah.
I don't know. I'm not into the one-dimensionalness of their conversations, both of them. I don't like either of the roles that they're playing. She's like, no, we can't do this. Yes, we will do this.
You're right. Yeah, exactly.
There's no nuance. And
discussion. It's the same thing happening every time.
It's the same thing happening every time. Yes. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think conversations go that way. There's usually a point when someone says, you know what, you're right. And then they turn out to be wrong. And so, you know, that's the twist of it. But I don't know. It's so flat. It's so flat. And that wasn't working for me. But she does at one point say, Delilah says, why are you pushing this protocol? Does it have to do with money? I had no idea what that would
even. Are we out of money?
Yeah, right. Are we out of money? Which Masha, of course, says, no, we're not. We're fine. And she says the lawsuits are draining us. I wasn't sure where that's going. Do you think that that's something that's going to be addressed in the last episode?
I don't know. If it was an out of place comment to me, I didn't understand where that was coming from either.
But then I think it's David E. Kelly and Liam Moriarty, and there's probably no out of place comments, and that there's something
right. That they're so planting that's what I was saying. So I assume it will. If not, what? Like, you didn't need that if it wasn't going to come back around, I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
Unless it's just to show more of Masha's desperation, like why she, I don't know though. I still think the money seems like a strange comment to then not have a further meaning. Yeah.
But then Delilah is insistent that she leaves. I'm not sure why she needs to leave at that moment. It does seem a little irresponsible.
I think she thinks shit's about to go down and she doesn't want any part of it.
I know, but shouldn't she be trying to do something?
I know.
And more than just, I know she's saying to Masha, we shouldn't be doing this, but she doesn't seem to be doing anything else. Like, that's the first place to start, definitely. You know, she's the retreat leader. She's this. And she's just like, she's not even really trying to get Yao on her side. She's just in as far as helping them. What she's doing is trying to get Yao to leave with her, which he's not doing because he won't, leave them. But
and going to the police, I'm not even sure how effective that's going to be.
I know. That does get a little silly because people take drugs all the time. You can't just call the police.
And the police are going to show up at Tranquillum. It's going to look like, all right, like what's going on here? Like you called me out here for what? Right. Like I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah. But I did love the scene where she's at the gate and she's like, let me fucking out. And the music's playing and the gate won't open. The tension, I mean, my stomach was really in knots. And she turns the truck and she decides to go, out the fence a different way. And what is the song? Oh, the games of love. Oh, the game of love. That one. Oh my God. Yeah. That whole thing worked for me. It really worked.
It was like she busted out. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't exactly happy for her, but it really did build tension. I was like, oh God, what's happening here? What's going on?
Right.
So, all right. Do we want to go back to episode 6? I guess the next thing in my notes is, as you mentioned, Tony and Francis, which, another great scene,
I've said it every single solitary recap that they are making the show for me. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm just more, I double down on that. Both of these episodes, I love their storyline.
That kiss for me.
Oh my God. I mean, she's basically getting her own romance story, but better than anything she could ever write. That kiss. Oh my God. Must Be Love on the Brain is playing. It's like awkward, but real and like really suits the two of them. Yeah. I mean, when she's just like, says like, he's going in. And he's what are you saying that for? Like, why'd you just say that? Like, I mean, she, of course, doesn't realize because she's tripping or whatever that she actually said that out loud. But right out of the gate, I'm just like, oh, God, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
At this. And then the next moment, I'm like, oh, my God. When he's like, full disclosure, I'm a terrible kisser. Then, they're playing exactly Love on the Brain. Then they kiss. And then somehow there's back to comedy because they like fall over the tree limb. I think it had all the elements.
It did. And you're right. It was so perfectly suited to them. But I did love he is being literal. He's like, I am going to fall because I am high as a kite.
Yeah.
And if I lean to kiss you, I'm going to fall. And she takes it in her romance novelist way. And she's like, I'll catch you.
And then he's like, I thought you said you were going to catch me. She's like, please, I have no upper arm strength.
Yes. But in that moment, it's like this, what if I fall? Oh, I'll catch you. Like, love, fall in love. And it's metaphor to her. And then, of course, it comes back to the literal. No, I was not going to do that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, please. But it is a very sweet moment. I mean, then, the mood will turn more serious when he talks about his thoughts of suicide. Mm. I mean, do you ever think about not going on?
Yeah.
Which even at first I was like, wait, what? She's even like, excuse me? Yeah, I was Francis. I was like, wait, what? Well, they also just had this moment and it was literally light and sweet. And now Tony, good old Tony, bringing it back to, I first thought like, oh God, he's going to go like to his, dark side, but But then this was also
but suicide's not the dark side. What?
No, it is. No, I'm saying is he always. I shouldn't. What I was pausing is like, is he always dark? I was thinking, well, maybe not. But this definitely is. But you know, I thought this was so. First of all, very vulnerable on his part, where he said, "I thought about it a lot before I came here." You know, and it felt like the bottom. And then, you know, they came here and they all sort of drank the Kool-Aid, literally and figuratively. And he said, I didn't drink out of despair. I drank out of hope for what, you know, she's already given me, meaning Masha and this place. And he says, and what you've given me. And when I woke up this a.m. this morning, I thought about painting my house, maybe getting a dog. Definitely taking you out to dinner. And I was like, oh. And she says, if I ever do write romance again, I'm gonna steal that. And I thought was, again, very Tony. So sort of a big speech, if you will, for him, but about as big as Tony would give, you know. I mean, it has the dark element, but then it has now sort of the newer Tony, which is hopeful. It's not cheesy, it's not over the top, it's just finally, you know, finding some hope, and how Francis has helped him do that, and how the whole place has. So I thought that part was, I love their storyline also too. Some of them are obviously a little crazier. And to me, this is the most relatable storyline, Francis. Yeah. You know, the sort of woman having a midlife identity crisis, like, what am I doing? And do I even know how to love? And is my career really what I thought it was? And, you know, trusting her own feelings, right. And you know, so that to me, that's also in addition to, I just love Bobby Cannavale and Melissa McCarthy. I think that's what's really resonating for me, is that her storyline seems the most relatable.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I just love them. Yeah, I'm
they're
fully
great.
fully on board. Yeah. Oh, but then we get some of the. Most
you want to continue with them, or you're
oh
saying
go ahead good. Go ahead
oh no into episode 7, or you want to go to
let's I didn't have anything
finish
in my
out
notes
the Tony
for them but go
oh
ahead.
The Tony so, and Francis
yeah do it
oh yeah well first of all just he becomes Fabio. I mean, I thought that was again the mixing in of the humor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she's having, you know, more delusions. She feels like she's seeing visions. She's seeing herself without a head and all this. But then she has that scene where she thinks that Tony is, you know, being super romantic. And you don't see his face at first. You just see her doing that whole, let's get out of here. Let's get that labradoodle. I want to know you, all of you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, my God, wait, is he really saying that? At first, I was like, wait, what? And then it cuts to him, and he literally is like, one of those bodice-ripping Fabio-looking men that's
covers.
Usually on the front of a romance novel. Uh-huh. So again, it just now I'm just laughing. So these moments of humor too, I think are great. Yeah. But you know, she's really struggling with whether or not to believe that Tony's feelings are genuine. So she goes to Masha and she's like. Like, is it the drugs?
Because we know she's been seeing Paul Drabble too, the one who catfished her, and she's having visions of him and talking to him as well, so flushing him down the toilet.
So she
has a basis for questioning Tony. This is not just self sabotage. This is she's on drugs. She's like, is this real or not?
You're right. She's on drugs. And she says to Masha, I have a fear of becoming a character in the wrong story. And Masha says, you know, what do you see? And she's like, I see myself, you know, without a head, or I see myself when I was younger and I was funny and I was brash. But bit by tiny bit, life's chipped away at that girl. Mm-hmm. Now I see myself as less than I really was. I was fearless and now I'm just afraid. Mm-hmm. And to your point of like, Masha has these gems, like the one with Lars. She looks right at her. She's like, everyone's afraid, Francis. And then she's like, are you afraid? she asked Masha. And then she's like, I'm terrified. Which sounds good, except that then they're both laughing in this really maniacal laugh. And I just, then the scene, I'm like, wait, what is happening now? So that got a little weird right there. Like, I thought it was a good moment because she's right. Everyone's afraid, you know? But then I'm like, why are they both laughing maniacally?
Yeah. Well, I think you're supposed to, I think as the viewer, you're supposed to really feel what Frances is feeling, which is, is any of this real?
Real. Like
what, what is going on? We're only seeing things, quote unquote, through the eyes of people that are on psychedelics.
Yeah. Yeah. What is real? What is real?
You know, and that's not in the way that we all know we're watching a TV show that is not real, right? We know these are actors, but in the TV show, what is real? Because again, they're all acting through these psychedelics, so
that's true.
It is confusing. I don't know if that scene really happened.
No, you're right. But then I do feel like then the next scene, which is Tony and Frances in the sauna. See, that to me, I felt like that then was him being real. But you're right. If you put it in the context of who knows, but you know, I felt like that was a real moment between them because she's saying, I think my meter is broken. You know, when someone seems nice and good, I think I'm wrong. Like people I trust, maybe I shouldn't trust. And, you know, she's really, like you said, not sure. She's on drugs, but she's also not sure what to trust of her own feelings because she's been
outside of here,
been burned before. Yes. Exactly. Yes. And this is what she says. How do you know? How do I know you're not a drabble? Mm. And I thought this response from Tony, again, vulnerable, real. Listen, my kids don't talk to me. My family doesn't talk to me. People who should love me don't talk to me. I've been more honest with you than anyone I've ever met. And she's just like, I'm thinking about the equation of us, you know, our damages together. And I just don't, she just doesn't think it's going to work. And she's like, I don't want to walk that plank. Either it will work out or not, but I don't know which one's worse. Hmm. And then he says, well, that's not the worst thing anyone's ever said to me, but it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. And he walks out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, Frances, what's happening? So, yeah, she's just, I really thought her struggle of how to trust herself and whether her meter is off was really interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I know
what to do.
That was the thing I didn't like about that scene was that Tony made it about him, and it's really about her. And
her,
she doesn't know, and until she
he's trying to reassure her, though. I think, like, listen, I've
yeah, but you can't reassure somebody about A by talking about B, right? He can't,
right?
He can't reassure her that her picker is okay by saying, like, I don't know, who knows, and.
I get that.
She's
that's a good.
Just
point.
Like I don't. I need to trust myself first and know for myself first. And she's never gonna know. Listen, no one in the world knows if a relationship is gonna work out.
Right.
But you do know if you trust yourself and you know how often you check in with yourself and say, "Is this what I want? Am I doing the right thing? Right thing by me, by whatever gauge that is for every person." And she stopped doing that, and that is. I mean, she actually even thought, like, maybe getting catfished wasn't the worst thing, that she would pay that kind of money for that kind of attention and affection. And that's sad. So she has to get her head right before she can.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean being 100%. I think what Tony's trying to say is you never are 100% sure about anything. And no one is. She's not trying to get 100% sure about it. She's trying to get 100% sure about herself. And
yeah, but I think Tony is saying is you're right. Like, she does have to deal with her own issues of whether she can trust herself. And there isn't anything he can do or say on that. But all he can say to her is, I've been real with you. I am real. What you see in me is real. Whether or not she can trust herself to pick him, like, you're right. He can't do anything about that. But I just thought his response was, listen, like, you can believe that I've shown you who I really am. Mm. After that, what else can he do?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it won't add up for her. And maybe she won't, you know, but I that's what I thought was what he was trying to communicate there. I don't know if it was really making it about himself, but, like, what else could he say other than I've been honest with you and this is who I am?
Yeah. Yeah, no, so. But he just made it about himself by being, I think, by being upset about it. by her saying.
Oh, the walk. It's not the worst thing anyone's ever said.
But it's pretty close.
Because I think he finally, I think he's, hurt and
sure,
you know,
yeah,
like shit.
Yeah,
I've been honest with, this is the most honest I've ever been, and wow, that still might not do it.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So
that's reality. That's life.
Yes, and then you know she's mad at herself. She's like, "Good one, Frances." yeah, and then you see, just to close her out, you know, she starts seeing herself as a teenager, and I think she's seeing like she was funny, and she looks like she's confident, and kids, right? I mean, I took that as the kids around her were laughing with her, not at her. Like she was kind of like holding court and whatnot. But then you see her sitting on the edge, and I really thought she did. You think she was going to jump? I didn't think she was going to jump, but I can't. I'm so fucking afraid of heights. I couldn't even watch her sitting on that edge. I was like, oh God, what is she doing?
Yeah. See, and I was like, jump, but meaning like jump because like there's a bungee or the water is deep or whatever, you know, like
the
jumping is exhilarating to me, but yes.
Yeah. And then her and Frances have the moment, which we kind of talked about, where she does confide in her about her daughter. But before that, Frances says to her that, you know, they share that they both lost their fathers. Yeah. And Frances
around the same age.
Yeah, one of them was 9, one of them was 10.
9 and 10, yeah.
Yeah, and Frances says that she thinks that's when she started eroding, which I thought was such an interesting word. That's when she started eroding, because it never happens all at once, right? I mean, these things, they happen over time, and then it's slow, and you don't even notice. And then she gets to this point in her life, and she's like, how did I get here? And, you know, she feels like her dad would have been ashamed of her.
Disappointed.
And that is like, disappointed and ashamed, yeah. And she's like, he would have wanted me to move forward. And, you know, she feels like she's going backwards.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know. I really like Frances's struggle here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know where hers is going to go, though, going forward. I mean, hers has never been about the high drama, like, you know, Carmel or
no, even I hope it's going to, she trusts herself, and her and Tony are going to kind of walk off into the sunset, and she's going
to go have dinner.
Paint their house.
Go on a date.
Paint his house and get a dog and go out to dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so,
probably
too.
Not in that order.
Probably not. Yeah. So who haven't we talked about?
Oh, boy. The Marconis.
The Marconis.
Oh
yeah.
God, I can't, well, I'm like dying waiting to get to them.
Before we even do that, because this will take 5 seconds. It's just Jess and Ben in the hot. They have nothing. What's... going on with those two? They're gonna renew their vows, and everything's great.
the Molly seems to be working. They're into each other. I did think Ben had a fantastic line when he said, "A lot of times people don't really know what they want. They think they want a car or a house, but what they really want is something different." And he's saying it in the realm of like, you're not happy, and you're doing all these things to inject yourself and nip and tuck and all that stuff, and maybe what's making you unhappy is me. And of course she says no, but I thought that was a really interesting way in. And as you know, beyond this line circles back to so many things. I mean, everything that we are talking about right now for this podcast, sex life, Sally Rooney's Beautiful World, Where Are You?
Yeah. Scenes from a Marriage.
Scenes from a Marriage. All of these things are kind of like intersecting in the craziest ways. And Nine Perfect Strangers was kind of outside of that bubble until this line from Ben. And I was like, Jesus, how do you know what you want? How do you figure that out? Does anyone even really encourage you to do that? And
I know. Yeah. I feel like I wanted a little more. Like even how you just described it, you inserted some lines there.
Absolutely.
You know, but totally. And first of all, anything like that out of Ben is surprising, because we haven't seen him in that kind of role, you know, giving out insightful comments. Their storyline has been so minimal.
Yeah. He's talking about the money that they got, and as if money, you know, can buy you a car, can buy you a house, can buy you cosmetic surgery, but doesn't make you happy. And that's because it's work to find out what makes you happy. And
she says it's him, but you know, so they're going to renew their vows. And then she's got the singing the wheels on the bus, which said, was that just in here so that would give us the title of this episode? Because the wheels are coming off the bus, that's for sure. Yeah. It was a little annoying, the sing-along.
It went on too long. Funny
because it's stuck in my head. Yeah. Now I'm just like, you're right. The wheels are really coming off the bus.
But that's
like
what happens. The imagery
worked for me.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you're high, I guess. And that's one of people repeat themselves constantly. And I'm like, oh, it's painful. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah. So yes, the Marconis are big storyline that we have to talk about.
Boy. Now. Yeah. Well, the one we didn't get because we've had some big reveals, but this is an escalation that is just heart-wrenching and painful to watch them be reunited with Zach, and they're in the forest, and you know, we know that Zoe has seen him quite a few times, and now Napoleon kind of gets a glimpse of him between the trees. He doesn't get to talk to him, but Heather, the mom, has a real interaction with him. I don't know. This was really hard. His asthma medication, one of the side effects was suicidal ideation. I mean, talk about a impossible situation. Yeah. What is she supposed to do? And I don't know about you. I was incredibly fucking furious with Napoleon.
His response.
Yeah.
Yes. Completely.
Excuse me? Which
Zoe kind of calls him out on later. Like, that's not even reasonable what you're saying here, Dad. Yeah. Like, blaming her.
I know, but he has a great line. He says, reason is no match for pain.
Match for my pain. Yeah. It is true. Which is true, too. You know? But I guess it's just he spent so much time blaming himself that to me it was like, this gave him the hook to let himself off and have someone else to place his blame on, which is fucked up, which is why I was mad. Because you know what it did to you to carry that blame. So does it make you feel better to dump it on your wife? I understand, again, none of it is really rational or reasonable given the circumstances. Right. But I also thought, though, that given how he started, you know, at the beginning of this series, Mr. Happy-go-lucky, like cringy happy, over the top, you now at least are seeing this different side of him, like it's been, which is that side was pretty annoying at the beginning. It was like, okay, Mr. Chipper, and now at least he's letting out some, I know it's been slowly happening, his evolution, but at least he's letting out some anger and some real emotion, even though I think it's fucked up and misplaced in this instance.
Yes, misplaced.
Yes.
I mean, it was misplaced in the first place on himself, but now, I mean, I wanted the next step for him to be like, no one's to blame. This is a horrible, terrible thing that has happened. I did not expect him to shift that. I'm hoping
he gets to that.
Yeah, but I did not expect, even if it's a middle step, I did not expect him to shift the blame to his wife for knowing this potential side effects of an asthma medication. It wasn't even an antidepressant, which you're like, you know, you're struggling with, you know, mental illness. Asthma? I don't know.
I know. It was hard. And just because she reads the labels, of course, everyone knows those side effects list everything under the sun.
Right.
You would never take a medicine then.
Right.
Ever. I mean, no.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, that was painful.
Watch.
And watching her hugging him and then kind of cutting back to Zoe's point of view, or just outside of Heather's point of view, when you're not seeing Zach, but you're seeing her hugging him and laying on the ground. And
oh my God, when he goes away and when she just starts screaming on the ground.
Oh.
Because, it's why I'm not so sure when Heather says she wants to do it, because if she can be with him just sometimes, she feels like then she can get on with her life. I don't know. Having these, look what just happened in this one.
Yeah.
You know,
I
don't know.
But how much more of that could
imagine?
Yeah, how much more?
I know.
You know, you would assume the next conversation might be something different, might get past it, because she asked, why did you do it? And he's like, oh, you know why. So I next know. Time she it's could be like,
aggressive.
How are you? Let's talk yeah, like about, maybe you know.
We'll just turn to nicer things, yeah. less painful.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hope on this trip, this psychedelic trip that they go on, that I assume or hope that they will find some healing, some way some peace. Past or forward together.
Yeah. I mean, that is the hope. But what do you think about it in the first place? Do you? I mean, they obviously struggle and they go back and forth about whether they should do it or not. And even at the end, Zoe is still very against it. I think Heather was always for it. Zoe's against it. And Napoleon's the one who goes from no to, he kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah, I think I thought what Heather said did resonate. You know, Zoe's like, you know, this can't be the way. We all need help. And Heather feels like she's tried everything else and that this really is the last chance, the last way. And that I think she's hoping what we're saying, we hope, is that this will be a way for them to move forward.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is crazy to me, taking everything they've done so far with the psychedelic. I don't take drugs. I don't know. I mean, right. So I've already sort of suspended like what I actually do this right. reality, but...
right.
I don't know if I had a chance to
bring back.
I guess that's a question you're asking. If you had a chance, even in an alternate universe, delusional type way.
Right. Which I, by the way, loved that one. Argument because they're like, but it's delusional. I'm like, everyone's delusional.
Yeah.
Literally yeah, everyone's delusional. So right. just to different degrees. So why not
so guess
make it a good right, delusion?
If you're asking me, would I do that? Like, let's say, I think I probably would.
I don't know. I can't imagine.
Like,
I would. I absolutely say I would not. But I've never lost a child, and I can't. I losing a.
Well, I'm thinking of my father right now.
Yeah,
I'm
a loved to one. Use right.
Like the most. Yeah. Right. Like the most loved one. Loved ones.
Right. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
To think of it that way.
Some people, they come to people in their dreams and they find yeah. it so comforting, or yes. they go see a medium who talks to them, ones who have passed, which is so also really it's comforting. True. So I kind of put it in these woo-woo kind sure. of category, okay. but at the end of the day, it makes them feel better and yeah. gives them some peace. I mean, when I went to that medium recently, I mean, that's what he was saying. Like, it helps people believe that, you know, we are infinite, you know, and they live on in just different ways and different forms. So if you kind of believe in that and the signs and that the people who've crossed are really always with you, then this is just another way to kind of tap into that. A more, I don't know, not real way, but it right. seems like that.
Right. For their experience, I think it will feel
yeah,
real.
Yeah, for the experience. Right? Exactly. So I don't know. I thought...
Yeah,
I think maybe I'd go for it.
That was very convincing. I would think I would be afraid that it would bring more pain, and not the pain that Heather has already experienced, but the pain of the good thing, the pain of like having a moment and hugging them and laughing with them and like, oh, this was so wonderful.
And then,
it can't last forever. He's not actually going to rejoin their family. And then are you
He's
constantly...
Not, you're saying, I guess, does it re-wound you every time?
Yeah, like, I guess I come at it you. With the addict's brain, where I'm like, then I would just keep chasing that. And I just don't think I could do it. I don't think it would be wise for me to do that. I think I would just keep yeah. chasing it. And, oh.
Yeah, but, I guess you have to know yourself. It's a good point, whether that would actually be beneficial or whether it would sort of be hurting all over.
Yeah, and Masha says very clearly, these drugs are not addicting. And I understand that there is actual science behind that, but the experience, it's never been.
I mean, Heather feels confident that if she could do this, then if I can be with him sometimes, I can basically be me again.
Right.
And so I feel like she's reached the conclusion that she could do that. It would actually be the very thing to save her.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't
know. But I'm saying the drugs aren't... addictive, but the experience could be. She's like, I need to do that again. I need to do that again. I need to do that again. It's not usually the drug that it can absolutely chemical dependency. The drug becomes addicting, but for me, it's always been the experience that is the thing I'm chasing and wanting to repeat, and not it, not the actual chemical. So I don't know. I don't know.
It's not an easy call, that's for sure.
It's not, but I can't imagine the strength it would take as a mother who has lost their child to say no to that. That's just how I feel.
The temptation is so high.
Yeah. That I would need to. I don't think I could do it. People I think say, I probably should.
Would do anything for one more moment with him or her or whoever. You know, I think it's a. But your point is, everyone thinks that. But have they thought about then what it's going to feel like after? Yeah. Are you going to feel like it's been another death? Yeah. Are you going to go back to mourning? I don't know.
I know.
I think what we'll see in the next one, I assume, is that it will, as I said, bring some kind of healing to them. But that still kind of doesn't answer your question, because you're not going to see, like, the next day.
Right.
You know, that the hangover effect of that. Right. I don't think we'll see that, probably.
No. Oh, and what?
But it's a good point.
Yeah. And there were a lot of corrective sedatives given out. Heather... I mean, it didn't go that well for Heather the first time. So I'm a little worried about this now amping up the whole situation. I loved her proprietary blend.
Oh, my God. I love it. I know.
But, my heart was totally ripped out by Heather and her reaction. And, And again, to Masha's, this is the last thing I have in my notes, then Masha, another Masha gem, when Napoleon says, I thought I killed my son, and now I think she does, and I can't forgive her. And she says that reliving past trauma can help you come to terms with it, and to share those terms with the object of your grief, you know, is another layer to make those terms together, which is, I guess, what the goal is, to... Yeah. Kind of have real closure with the grieved person participating, the person you're grieving.
I guess that's another good point. I know you're not like a closure person, but you know they did lose their child.
That
unexpectedly.
Not a closure person.
Maybe that's in relationships. You're like you're not. It's not something you need.
No. That is very incorrect. I believe that closure is between you and you. Closure is an internal process.
It's not as between you and the other person.
Yes, I am Taylor Swift. I don't need your closure. I need my closure. Yes. Don't write me your letter and say you're doing better. I don't want to hear about it. I don't need your closure. I need my closure.
Taylor Swift just came into this. I'm loving. Correct. Yes. Well, what I was going to say is yes, and that they didn't really get their internal closure as parents with him, maybe, and because it was unexpected. And I think maybe that's another reason why to do this, even if it's only a one-time thing. I mean, maybe it's just to kind of get what they need to move forward. Maybe they'll have a talk. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the idea is behind it. I just think. That I would have that idea and then I'd never be able to let it go. Knowing you could access that. Yeah.
So I think we've got all the storylines. I guess the question is we got one more episode. I guess we've talked throughout about where we think it might go.
There's a
lot happening. I don't know.
I'm not really sure. The thing I am looking forward to most is God. And if you had told me I was going to say this, 5 hours later, 6 hours later, 7 hours later, whatever it is, in the first episode, that what I'm most interested in is finding out what happens to Masha. That is by far the most intriguing piece to me at this point. Like, what is actually
going on? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, which in the beginning...
Because I thought it was going to be like sort of this annoying storyline just to add drama.
Yes, and this twist of having it be her daughter and God, and watching her ride out into the... road. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of who you're making a different point. I was thinking that the thing I thought was going to be annoying from the beginning was just like the who's trying to kill her part. Was that just going to be added to add drama? And that is even gotten more interesting because of the Carmel factor and whatnot. But you're absolutely right though. The part about, remember I did say in the first one, I really hope we get a little bit more into who Masha is and what her damage is. So I totally agree with you. I think that now this last element that they've added with the daughter is definitely something I want to see
more of
in the last episode.
Yeah, and I want to know why she's so frantic. And I wonder if when she died, did she see her daughter? Was she reunited with her daughter when she died? Now we know Carmel shot her. When she died in that parking garage before Yao saved her, was she reunited? Is she chasing that same thing, the kind of the way I'm talking about being the concern? Is that what's going on? What is going on, and what's going to happen with that storyline? And you're right to weave in the Carmel piece of it. Will Carmel kill her again? And will she actually die this time? I mean, Yao has that line where he says, don't worry about
She has nine lives.
Does she? Will we know? Will we find that out? That's
right. He did throw that in there. Ooh, to Masha. I mean, to
Carmel.
Marcel. Carmel. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I've given them a nickname, a celebrity nickname, Marcel.
I'm very intrigued by that.
Yes.
And do you think they'll have a wedding ceremony? Ben and Jess will renew their vows. I think.
I think that will probably happen just so we can get like a little closure on them, their minimal storyline. But I think they'll get their happy ending, possibly. You're right. And I hope Francis and Tony, are going to go out to dinner and maybe paint the house, like you said.
I would love that. I would love that.
Yeah.
What? And is there anyone else?
And Lars, is he going to write this? And will Lars write some big expose?
Oh, I think so.
Lars, you know, he does defend Masha at times, or at least, you know, he seems.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like a ripping apart. I don't think so. But
right.
No, I think it's going to be more of that like nurturing, building something. I wonder if he takes over. Does he? Oh my God, he said I could be a counselor here. Is he going to take over Tranquillum when Masha dies?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I did not think of that.
I don't know. Wow. Who knows? I'm intrigued.
You're right. I don't think it's going to be a scathing expose type thing.
No, absolutely not. Targeting the bullies and taking them down. That's the old him. He's moved past that.
Yes. And like he said, you know, to Zoe or who did he say? Maybe Carmel, that you could argue that regular Western medicine doctors are the ones that are actually, you know, drugging us and poisoning us. You know, I mean,
right. Tony's so, addiction.
Yeah, exactly. So who's really the villain, kind of? Like, is it Masha for her unorthodox ways, or is it, you know, the man or woman in the white coat who is writing prescriptions all day to people that do them harm?
Right.
So
right.
I think he is going to be a balanced view, definitely, based on what we've seen, because I think he's seen the good that she's done as well to these people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
And the Marconis, I don't know. I hope they get the piece they need.
I hope so, too.
How long do you think it's going to take? Do you think, like, the next episode is going to happen immediately? I mean, I guess it's got to happen on this trip, and you think it'll end on this psychedelic trip. So, like, it's going to happen
immediately.
I don't
know. It'll definitely start with that, I think, and then...
I don't know.
If it'll be the whole episode or...
Yeah, I think so.
We'll find out.
It's going to be hard to get past that, right? I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Next week.
Okay, we'll see next week. All right. See you back here.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
And the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows, and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women or on Twitter at Pop_Women.
For more coverage of the women you love or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com
and keep it complicated.